I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 4 of the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello there.
Naomi McLeod.
Hi.
And JD Short.
Howdy, y'all.
That's right. I've managed to put together a team finally without Jay and Mark, as I am slowly trimming the fat from the Guitar Nerds host lineup.
You'll be hearing from their lawyers pretty soon.
Yeah. We still need to tally up who's done the most podcasts, because Mark said for a long time it was him, but I think it's me.
It almost definitely is you now, Matt, because I'm never going to recover from that when I went on that like 2 month drug and booze binge and I just didn't turn up to any podcasts for a while. Yeah.
I mean, I've managed to podcast when I was living in Japan,
albeit
sitting in my room recording by myself, but it was still pretty good.
That is true. You did do well. But, yes, I'm very, very happy to have you guys here as the host. Now, we're kind of clear of not Nam Nam now, so those sort of new releases for Nam are all done and dusted. There are some cool things that we hadn't yet got around to talk about, and there's been a trickle of new releases that have come out in the last week, so we're going to talk about those as well. But before we get into anything, obviously it's the start of a new month, it's February now, which means that Guitar Nerds, we're choosing a new charity each month in 2021. We're going to be donating to a new charity, and we thoroughly recommend you checking out that charity. Last month, we'd donated to Help Musicians, a wonderful charity put in place to help all the people who, you know, are involved in the touring industry, mainly who have been left out of work and, you know, up a particular creek without a paddle. So thank you to Help Musicians for making sure there's an emergency fund for those people. And we were very happy to donate to them. This month, we're going to be donating to Refuge. Now, Refuge is a charity committed to a world where domestic violence and violence against women and girls isn't tolerated, and where women and children can live in safety. They aim to empower women and children to rebuild their lives free from violence and fear. They provide a range of life-saving and life-changing services and a voice for the voiceless. So we thoroughly recommend checking those out. That's where our money's going to be going this month. But yes, moving on. Let's talk about guitar things, everyone. Before we dive into the news, I kind of want to talk about Squire Broncos, because they seem to be the thing that we all have in common here. To some extent. Yes, exactly. Matt, you got yourself a shell pink Bronco. Of course, we've spoken a little bit about the mods you've made to that. Naomi has her Bronco that she savaged with a chisel into a natural finish and added a Cerec B92. And the cool thing is that the bass guitar nerds have got winging their way to us, to Naomi, JD and myself. We're each getting a Squire Bronco. And we're starting to put together an idea for a new series down the line, dear listener, where we're going to be modding. Each of us are going to be modding a Bronco. We're going to set ourselves a bit of a budget limit, and then we're going to be doing all sorts of things to it. Cutting out new pickups for it, new tuners and bridges, refinishing it, various bits and bobs. That's further than I went.
I don't like doing any mods that involve something that I can't comfortably do.
Right.
Naomi sounds like you're more comfortable with a chisel and potentially hacking away at things. But I'm just like, I'll do all the expensive mods that just are really, that are just revolve around like changing three screws.
Conversely, I think my only vow with this one is not to let a chisel anywhere near it. I'd like some paint to remain on the base this time. So I'm looking forward to that and to the abject lack of hand injuries, I hope.
It's definitely a good point. It is one of the things that I think people steer away from with mods. Everyone wants to make modifications, but it's a totally different kettle of fish when you're either sending your guitar or taking your guitar to a professional to have work done on it, or, you know, whether you're attempting to use hand tools yourself. So it kind of makes, you know, things like refinishes, things like changing the pickup, if it's a different pickup type or size, or maybe adding a pickup, stuff like that tends to be the things that people steer away from. One thing that Bronco has going for it is it's got quite a sort of almost swimming pool routing underneath the scratch plate. There's quite a lot of room. Did you have to extend it at all, Naomi, to put the Ceric B90 in there?
It had to be extended ever so slightly, and then I think it may actually have been that it had to be extended slightly to allow for the depth of the depth of the pickup with the wider profile. But I remember the B90 actually had to be like sort of given some height underneath, so I think the routing's quite deep, as in towards the back of the body.
I see.
Inside, yeah.
That's not something I'd expect to have to do. But did you have that done for you, or did you do that yourself with a blowtorch and a hammer?
No, I handed the pickup job over to my tech at the time, who did a lovely job. So yeah, with this one, I'm looking forward. I have my soldering iron at the ready, and we'll be trying to do as much as possible myself this time around.
Excellent. And so Matt, what so far have you done with your shell pink Bronco?
Spent more money on it than it cost to buy. yeah, it was funny because I was in a meeting earlier, and we work on Teams at work, so you can join a meeting before, you know, if you're the first one there, it will still load up the video screen. It's just like waiting for other people. And I was sat there playing the Bronco, and then someone was like, "Oh, is that a Squire Bronco?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Oh, one of my students has got one of them as well." And I played it, and it's like the best bass for guitar players. And I was like, "Yeah, it is." I think actually it's so widely known, and I think it's great that we're spreading the news a little bit further. And I just put Squire Bronco bass mods into Google, and it's amazing how many people have gone like the absolute extra mile on this particular bass. But yeah, so the first thing I did was order a new scratch plate. I personally think that the scratch plate on the Broncos makes it look cheap. Mm-hmm. So I think black on white pickguard on black and white on red, especially the red color, I personally think it makes them look quite cheap. So I was like, right, I'm going to change the pickguard. So I did that. And then a massive shout out to James's Home of Tone, who basically supplied everything else. So they did me a McNelly pickup with the harness. So I just dropped everything in.
So that's the McNelly Bronco Stroke Music Master pickup.
Which, yes.
Because it's a strat sized pickup, it is a strat pickup in a Bronco. McNelly have actually, they've managed to take something with that amount of size limitation and made it into quite a high output, sort of supercharged precision sounding pickup.
Yeah, it sounds, I mean, amazing. I was super impressed. So just doing some normal bass stuff was great. But then once I dug out a pick and turned the fuzz on a la J. Cross, it was great. But so I had that done. So that was great. That was all just drop in, basically. Although the one thing I would say is upgrading the pots, the pot size difference is like 2 mil.
That's right, because so, the Chinese pots that you get on the Bronco are 8 mil, I believe.
Yes,
and it's
yes.
And a standard US pot size is 10 mil.
Yes. So I had to buy a step cutter drill piece, which I'd never used before. So but that was fine. It was just like a normal drill, it just makes things wider. And I put some new knobs on
Witch
it.
Witch hat knobs you got for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I like those. Although I must admit, the Harmony Juno arrived with the cupcake knobs. I'm like, oh, they do look really good. But yeah, I'm sort of there. I kind of think a few people have complained about the tuners, but I actually think the tuners are fine. I would just like to change the saddles, I think. But I don't think you can really change saddles without changing the bridge.
You can. I did.
You? Well, yeah, you did,
so,
yeah.
So what I did on, not on my Bronco, but on my Music Master, my 1977 Music Master, which is essentially the bass that the Bronco is based on, has the same bridge, more or less, as a Bronco. Not quite, but the same sort of two-saddle setup. And is similarly difficult to replace because there's no one makes a Music Master bridge replacement, which is... I don't know why. You see them everywhere. You think it's a really common thing. You'd think someone would make one. So what I did was bought a Wilkinson 51-style P-Bass bridge, which had a lovely pair of brass settles on there. And so I just took those off of that and attached them to the old Music Master one in order to...
Yeah, and they're the ones without the grooves, though, right? Which I
yes,
always find a
but
bit weird.
I don't know why you said this to me in a message, and I was like, I don't know why you're worried about grooves. Like, they're not going anywhere. The strings
aren't
going anywhere.
I just always
anywhere.
Thought it would be better with them on. But yeah, maybe I'll do that because I've seen a few people mention the hip shot bridge. But yeah, you have to drill a few extra holes, and I'm like, I could do that. But
yeah,
I'm also
it's the same with the tuner posts as well. They are maybe one of you knows the standard. Width, but the tuner posts are also smaller on the Bronco as well.
Did you? Because you, I can't remember exactly what you said you had to do, Naomi. But you, did you have to drill the tuner holes in the Bronco head, or did you manage to find tuners that were suitable in the end?
Found tuners that were as close as possible to suitable, which was 3/8 inch, which Hipshot do instead right. of instead of half. But they, like, even at that, they still had to be drilled.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay, so yeah. That's probably something we're all going to have to do if
exactly.
we change tuners. Which
yeah, it's one. It's another slightly tricky thing.
I see.
Yeah, because I didn't, Matt, I didn't change the pots in mine.
Right.
But yeah, it's interesting that additionally they have awkward-sized pots.
Yeah.
You didn't change the bridge either, Naomi, did you?
No. Well, I not that I won't. I sort of just put that one on the long finger because it's
sure.
it's all working fine and yeah. Definitely with the Hipshot tuners, it's been staying right where I like it, which is in tune.
The one thing I kind of want to do. So if you Google anyone listening and just at a computer, Squire Bronco bass mods, there's a picture come up of someone who has put the. I don't know what the correct term is, but the little like steel. Pickup cover that you
yes,
get on
the ashtrays. You're talking about the black
ashtrays.
One with the black plate. That's what
yes.
I'm doing. Yes,
I'm like that looks wicked.
Yeah, I've already got the spare ashtrays and I've ordered the black plate already. I've got the black plate here, and I actually have a couple of cupcake knobs as well.
So,
that I'm
so the
be...
ashtray then does that? Is that just a standard fit? Does that just go over?
Probably. Yeah. Sure. I don't know. Who knows? We'll find out when it gets here. It's you know, it's a small bridge. The ashtray, it's a P-Bass ashtray, which is the smaller of the two sizes. The Jazz Bass one is the one that has a massive F on it and is huge. My reluctance to do it is I really like palm muting quite a lot. And so I'm always in two minds. I love the look of ashtray covers, but they affect
it's the
main
nemesis.
Way.
Of,
yeah.
Yeah. The nemesis of, because I'm the exact same with muting, Joe. And I've had, I've literally took brand new basses to gigs before forgetting that they had that on and then being like, what the hell? Like, there's nothing I can do.
Did you, Naomi, you were getting your thump thing. JD, you weren't on that podcast, but Naomi was getting, I can't remember what they're called, Fump Groove?
Yeah.
The Groove Gear Fump?
Thump.
Yeah, I've got one.
Yeah. Oh yeah?
Yeah.
How do you find it, JD?
I really, it's one of the best out there for what it does. It's great to sort of, it fits all my bases, and I really like that it's like hard plastic, because a lot, you know, as opposed to just, it's really great to just chuck it on and chuck it off.
Right.
Because I usually use one or two bases per gigs anyway, or recording, and it's just, it's great to do both. Yeah, it's really a nice tool. I just find that, like, I do so much palm muting myself that, like, I very rarely am going for that tone. It's usually something I try in the studio and then just be like, oh, well, I can just do that.
Do you mean you find it's too much? That's my experience with mutes as opposed to palm muting. I like being able to selectively ease off the palm mute. And especially when it comes to your low E string, I find that the mute kits tend to overdo the muting on the low E.
I mean, I think so. I mean, it definitely will take something and give it a much more Motown-y vibe.
Yeah.
And for studio stuff, I think it's especially great. Certainly if you're not playing a bunch of low notes and everything, and it's just to be able to, if you're recording, like, so much nicer to be able to control the regularness of the dynamics without having to put things through compressors and expanders to try to shape your transients. But it's, yeah, I really like it. I highly recommend that everyone get one. I just don't actually use it as much as I probably thought I would.
I see.
They're dope.
So how have you found it since getting it, Naomi?
Well, plot twist. I'm not sure if, credit to whoever it was, if it was in the Guitar Nerds group, but I either saw or got sent to me a hack for the fret wrap, which is simply to pop your fret wrap facing outward, just under your bridge, exactly where you would put the thump. And I think I might have mentioned in the last episode, but I was gifted some lovely leopard, tiger, and zebra print fret wraps for my birthday recently. So I thought, well, seeing as I've three, why don't I try one one of these? And the hack works amazingly. It's brilliant. So I'll probably still get a thump, but I've put it off just for now because this handy hack has been working a treat.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'll come back to you when I get the thump, though, for sure. You'll hear all about it.
Wonderful. I had a little bit of a follow-up from, so listeners will know, and actually you guys will know, I'm having Fidelity Guitars and making me a bass, and they're having to make a completely custom bridge for me because I want a mute kit on it, very much like the Sean Hurley signature custom shop precision bass, where he has, it's kind of inspired by the Jaguar mute kit, but you know how the Jaguar mute kits are put on backwards on basses, so they're a bit, it's a bit of a mess and they fall off all the time, they're not very good. And originally I'd said to Fidelity, I'll buy a Jaguar mute kit if you could just fit it, and Matt from Fidelity took a look at them and was like, oh, this is awful, this is hardly fit for purpose, I'll design one. And I was like, okay, great. So he's followed up with me today saying, here we are, I'll read it out. Okay. I've designed a mechanism which has two spring-loaded pillars recessed into the body in front of the bridge, which will be completely hidden under the strip of mute material. To activate the mute, you press down once and it will pop up. To disengage, you then push the mute down again and it locks. Basically a ballpoint pen. I am very excited about that.
Basically a ballpoint pen. Sorry, go on.
I like the fact that you just said basically a ballpoint pen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be £400, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
A push-push mute kit. I'm very excited.
It sounds like that great myth about the US trying to develop a pen that worked in space. And they spent like $1 billion on it. And then Russia were like, we just use a pencil. So, a bit like that. It's like, yeah, I could just design this mass thing. It's like, I've just designed a ballpoint pen. Yeah. I'm sure it'd be great, though. Some of the stuff that Fidelity are kicking out at the moment, it's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it. It'll be the first Stellarossa body shape base as well, because up until now, the bases have all been the JB body shape. They're double cut, so I'm very, very excited.
Which one is the Stellarossa again?
So the Stellarossa is, I think, the only one that's actually kind of, that's not, the double standard was his original shape, which he very much designed. The JB was something that a customer had asked for that I think he then put into production afterwards, or, you know, made available. The Stellarossa is inspired by an old Japanese guitar. I can't remember the brand. Mm. It was someone like Taisco. But it's the slightly squarer, I guess.
Yes. Sorry, I know the one. And it's not offset, right? It's like...
It's not offset, no. Yeah. It's...
And is it like single cut, but actually almost symmetrical? It's like that little of a cut.
It's very much, the cut is virtually non-existent. Two shoulders are very squared. Like the top one moves out slightly, you know, for your strap button. But I really like that shape. I thought it was fantastic. And it wasn't until I had a borrowed a number of the guitars, and it really was, for me, wearing it, it just sat in such a perfect position. And I'm a little funny about short scale basses and how they sit on you when you're standing up, because I find, like, SG basses, because the body's so small, but where the strap button is in the back of the body, it means if you sling high like I do, the neck actually ends up quite far away from you, and the body ends up quite pushed over towards your left side as well. So it's a little uncomfortable to play. And conversely, things like Music Masters and Broncos, because it's the strap button's over the 12th fret, that neck's really close into you, so I feel quite squished playing those. So it's kind of the Stellarossa, that's a ridiculous amount of snobbery and detail, but the Stellarossa happens to be just the perfect thing to be a short scale bass, to give me room to move around without it being uncomfortable. And it's kind of an oversized body shape, which I quite like. Sort of the chubbier I'm getting, the more I'm interested in large bodied guitars.
We like body positive guitars.
Yes.
In the time that you've been talking, I'm aware I should have been listening, but instead I was actually looking up the Stellarossa. It is beautiful. The particular one I've pulled up, I think, on Fidelity's website, is one of those gorgeous, what I call a handsome sunburst, a really red sunburst with a slight relic on the upper cut.
They're
gorgeous.
Yeah, Matt Orem makes some absolutely fantastic guitars. Obviously, I'm sorry, listener. I go on so much about Fidelity, but they are, you know, still right up there as, you know, my favourite custom brand guitar in the world. So,
can I
very, very good.
Can I offer something that everyone, I think, on the podcast should buy if they're in a similar position to, I think, probably the four of us when it comes to setups, especially me, anyway. I've always... Well, I've never really dived into it too much. And I think if you guys are doing more stuff with the Bronco, one thing that Stu Mac sell, and I'm sure you could probably get it in the UK somewhere, but they sell a specific string action guide, which has been an absolute, like, game changer in terms of me doing setups at home. It's basically a tiny square rectangle that every side has a different set of measurements.
Oh, I've seen these before.
Really good. So one side is a string action gauge. So basically you just put it behind the string, and then the bottom, the height of the fret to the top of the string is just the action. So it's really quick to just, like, go across all six strings and go, right, that one needs to go up, that one needs to go down. Mm-hmm. But in terms of measuring, like, parts and all of that sort of stuff, you know, how often have you gone, oh, this bridge... You know, I was putting new saddles on my strap before, and I was like, can't really accurately measure the distance between the two string points on E to E, and stuff like that. And for setting up the Bronco and the Chapman I did recently, just for, like, basic setups, you know, getting truss rod adjustment right, so checking the action there, then setting everything up, setting the intonation. It's been absolutely amazing. They just call it a string action gauge, and I'm sure you can, loads of people probably got them going, have you not had one of those for like the last like 15 years?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's brilliant for just setting stuff up, and it's been an absolute game changer for me for actually doing stuff at home, where it's always felt a bit mystical. What is a setup? And I'm not saying I am a pro luthier, but in terms of just like quick stuff at home, that's been really good.
Yeah, just looking at it here, there's also on one side what looks like, well, it may well be for something else, but something that literally looks handy to actually measure your actual string width as well.
Yes.
Like if you've a set and you've opened them all, or if you're putting back on old strings.
Oh, really? Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah, yeah. So that is super handy.
Yeah, it's super handy. And on the back, it gives you all of the like metrics, you know, like if you're changing it between US or,
the rest
European
of the world
or whatever. So it's been really good. And I would highly recommend grabbing one for just doing setups and stuff at home.
I would say, as you're doing that, because shipping from Stumac, the other thing they have is a guitar setup, like mini toolkit that's in a little red metal case that is a driver with every bit you would ever need for your guitar. So all the hex keys, all the flatheads and Phillips. And then it also will have like brushes, little punches if you're trying to set new screws, everything. It's not cheap. I mean, other stuff really is, but it's absolute quality. I think it was probably 30 something US, but I've had it for a few years, and I have that same setup guide you have, Matt. And it's like those two things together, like,
yeah,
revolutionized like everything that I have. And they're always in, to be fair, I have a couple of both now, but like they're always in like each of my, like cases or gig bags or whatever. So if I need to do changes for anything, it's like I have all the tools I need and just those two pieces.
Yeah, that's very cool. That is very cool. I think maybe I need this. I think this is a proper time saver for me on setups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I mean, one of the things I put down to talk about was I finally finished my Chapman Beer baritone sort of hot rod.
You've actually put it all back together now.
I put it all back together with the help of this handy tool. because before I would have just done everything by eye and then just sort of like, I don't know, sort of like fluffed it around a bit until it sort of felt about right, where this felt like I was actually dialing in a half decent setup. so obviously a few weeks ago we talked about me taking the hand sander to it and everything. So I did all that. And then I spoke to, because I never really liked the sound of the pickups that came in. So that was the older model. The new one comes with Rabir's signature bare knuckle pickups and a Seymour Duncan. The old one came with like Chapman pickups that were designed with him. And they just had this sort of like harsh mid quality to them, to me, that always sounded like there was just like a filter on it or like a wah, which I'm not really a massive fan of. So I reached out to Sunbear Pickups, and I was just like, Stuart's great, because you just go like, I want things that sound like this, and all the buzzwords. And he's like, I know exactly what to make. And he was like, oh, I make something that's not listed on my website, but I've made it for someone else, which I call the Sabbath Bucker, which is relatively high output, but cleans up really, really well. And I was like, that's great, because I don't want a neck pickup. I don't want a tone control. Everything from the volume control. Sort of want it to do the, the heavier side of things, but it needs to do the ambient side of things as well. Mainly so I can play the intro to Twin Peaks over and over again on my baritone. And so he did that. James's Home Tone again supplied all of the parts. And I was like, right, I'm going to, we're in lockdown. It's not like I can take it to a guitar tech. I was like, need to actually solder some stuff as well. So he even provided some decent solder, because I'd had enough of the no name brand from Amazon solder. And I can't believe I soldered everything together and it worked first time and sounded better than I expected.
Wow. Nice.
So yeah, it's one of those things where you're like, I was fully expecting to plug it in and there'd be like a horrible ground hum, or it just didn't work, and then just be like, well, that's enough of that then. And then just leave it for about 6 months.
See you in
months.
A year.
Yeah. Leave it for 6 months until I can take it to a guitar tech. But yeah, I used proper pots from James Homertone. He also sells the Pure Tone jacks. He got me a bunch of decent wire to use. Wired it all together with a kill switch. So now I have a single humbucker, single volume kill switch baritone.
Very cool. What have you got it tuned to?
B2B.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Just B2B. Very nice. Standard. But yeah, I put the reason I mentioned, obviously, the setup guide and obviously talking about bass and setting things up. So I put 12 to 68s on it, which I
really?
Thought...
Really? Oh, that's wimpy.
Oh, yeah, I've got to be able to bend. I'm not, you know, because I remember I said to Rabir, I was like, what do you put on yours? And he was like, oh, yeah, I think I do like 14 to 70. And I was like... Oh, yes, that sounds great. I will also do 14 sets. I put them on. I was like, wow, this is like playing an iron rod. It was like impossible. And I'd always used those ones because I'd used normal scale guitars with like D'Addario baritone light, which I thought was 12 to 68, but actually they're 13 to 60, I think. So when I put the 12 to 68s on, the action suddenly went like, whoop. And I was like, uh-oh. I was like, I need to try and set this up really quick. But it worked really well. But yeah, B2B, and occasionally, I guess, dropping the B down another tone. But
nice.
Overall, I've loved modding guitars recently. If only I had like an actual workshop that I could just like mess around in, rather than like, Amy, I'm just going to need to sand this guitar in our bathroom, and then just like pull out the hand sander and the Hoover at the same time. But yeah,
speaking of ridiculous strings, now these haven't happened yet because I messaged Stringjoy and were like, I don't know if this is possible, so tell me if it's not, but can I get some bass six strings in 30 to 120?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if you'd even be able to pick the low string separately from the next string if it's a 120. But I can't think of any other way, because they're normally 90 on a bass six. Your thicker strings are 90. But I want to get it into D standard, which also might not be possible. But, you know, I'm going to see. I'm going to see if it's doable. And... yeah, it's gonna be an adventure. JD, I didn't ask you what mods you'd make to your Bronco.
I mean, I'm really trying to think about what I'd want to do. A few different directions. Like, I also want to talk about StuMac. They also sell a component that's black ice. It's a black ice that you can solder into your.
I've had one of those before.
Yeah, I mean, I've had mixed result, but like it's an inbuilt distortion that you can just wire to a tone pot, so you can blend in. Basically just changes up some of the tone. But I'm thinking about it, it's like, I wouldn't use the Bronco for anything like overly clean, probably. Yeah. Anyway. And so it'd be nice just to have some inbuilt grit or something like that. Passive grit and stuff like that. Or, probably I'll definitely change pickups. And I was kind of waffling as to whether or not I wanted to do a lot of, you know, what you see with the sort of like Seymour Duncans or some of the like EMGs with like the rail, but still using guitar pickup.
Yeah, you can just get a guitar pickup that's strat sized as well. You know, that's quite a cool option.
I mean, I think what I'll probably end up doing will be using like maybe like a Rickenbacker style like neck pickup, or maybe I think I have a TV Jones kicking around here somewhere, like one of the, I can't remember exactly which one I have, the Thunderblade I think I have, which would be cool. Or, you know, just, I don't know, like I'll probably go nutsiest on the pickup, but then, I mean, definitely changing scratch plate, because that's the number one. Like, I agree with Matt, like that's what makes it look, to be fair, it is a very cheap bass, looks like a very cheap bass, but, you know, changing that. And then, you know, like, depending on what, I'm trying to look at an overall vibe, and I was sort of thinking, looking towards like some of my favorite like outboard studio gear, you know, and like maybe like trying to go with a color scheme so it looks like an old Neve 1073 and get some Neve knobs on it is kind of what I was thinking.
Very
so
cool.
You know, something like
very
that, or cool. Like yeah. Yeah, like old Bakelite knobs you'd get on like a Pultec or something, like, or just go full on, you know, like the big UA desk they made in like the 60s, you know, which is like one big massive knob per channel instead of faders and stuff. Just be like, yes, I want it to look like it potentially could have existed in the game Fallout.
Yes, that's a great theme.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, very cool. I think one of the things I'm going to have to do is vintage tint the neck.
I had thought about the same.
Yeah, thing, I was watching some videos on how to do it, and you know, it seems pretty straightforward and easy.
Do you know what I would suggest? Because I was thinking of something similar for the top of the Chapman. So Monty's guitars, obviously, Matt at Monty's in London, who's been on the podcast before, makes something called the Montespresso. So I don't know if you've seen this. A few people have been raving about it recently, but it's basically a relic wax is the way that they put it.
Okay.
So it's $15.99, comes in an espresso cup, which is got a really cool funky sort of 60s pattern to it, plus their logo, and effectively looks like an espresso. And the idea is that it's a relicking wax. So you rub it into non-glossy, unfinished maple fingerboards, and the longer you leave it on there, the darker it makes the board. So they actually made it for things like Laurel or Palfaro fingerboards that look maybe not as dark as rosewood, and things like that. So you can actually use it, well, they say non-maple boards, but I guess you can use it on anything that's maybe open wood and just darken it up a little bit.
That's pretty cool.
They say here, do not forget that it is a stain, and once applied, it will permanently change your instrument. I'm sure many people will buy it and go, I don't like it. And then it's too late now. But yeah, that might be a good option. If you sand off some of that sort of finish and put that on there, it might be a really good idea.
Well, I want that gloss. I want the lacquer finish. So, you know, I just want to get something that's going to orange up the wood a little bit. And then Stu Mac actually do a great range of kind of vintage tint things. And then, you know, you can just wipe on a bit of lacquer and buff that out, and hopefully...
I should probably say that this podcast isn't sponsored by Stu Mac. Although I would say, if you are, you know, if we're all looking at getting something from Stu Mac, I would suggest that we order at once, because... I ordered my string gauge, and it did arrive before Brexit, but I think it was, yeah, somehow, I think it's, yeah, $23, but somehow still managed to get charged the £12 handling fee and then the £8 administration fee. So it cost me more money to get it into the UK than it would have just cost to, well, than it cost to actually buy it, which was incredibly painful. But I wanted to support Stu Mac rather than no-name brand from Amazon or eBay.
Yeah. Yeah, they do some good stuff. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I'm excited about the future of everyone's Broncos. And dear listener, you know, if you're thinking about getting into bass, or if you're a bass player and you're looking for something different, the Squire Bronco is a very, very affordable option to have a mess around with. I'm really looking forward to seeing what we do. And I'm also really excited that the Bass Nerds are going to beat Mark Packham to mod mode, despite the fact that he's been threatening it for the best part of 4 years. which will be good, but let's move on from the Broncos and talk about some other things. I saw a guitar on Instagram talking about baritones. I saw a guitar on Instagram today, which I shared onto the Guitar Nerds Facebook group. I didn't know what it was, and it was from the person who'd shared it hadn't put the name of the brand, and I didn't know what it was. And Robin Smith kindly pointed out to me that it was an Abernethy guitar. Has anyone checked out Abernethy before?
Not before today, no. But my God, yes, they are some beautiful instruments.
Absolutely fantastic. The guitar that I was checking out was the Sonic Baroness, which is on the Abernethy website, listed at $2,600, a 28-inch scale baritone, strung with a very proper 13 to 62 gauge strings with a lovely gold foil bang in the middle. I didn't actually see who the pickup manufacturer were, or if it was wound themselves. But yes, an absolutely wonderful. Someone pointed out on the picture that I shared of it that it very much had a Vuren Saku guitar style feel, and I think it's because of that German carve
I was going to say it looks very much like Novo,
yeah,
so similar sort
that German,
of shape.
That German carve is becoming quite popular, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I've been following a lot recently. Rhett Shaw is doing some great videos on YouTube, and he plays a like pink or like champagne sparkle Novo, which is kind of a similar shape. I think the Novos don't have the German carve, but they're kicking out some amazing stuff in that similar sort of retro body size. But these are wicked. I'm into that.
Slotted headstock.
No, I'm not into that.
Why not? I love a slotted headstock.
I don't know. It throws up images of, like, you know, when you go to a party and your mate has a really crappy classical guitar in the corner, and you're like, oh, you play guitar, and they're like, oh yeah, yeah, and then you're just like, no. No, it just, for some reason, throws up images of the world's cheapest classical guitar.
No, they are cool. Slotted headstocks are cool. Think about, like, the old Gibson EB basses. The old SG basses of the 60s. You used to be able to get those with slotted headstocks. And let me tell you, trying to restring a bass with a slotted headstock, well, that'll take you some time.
What I just realised with this, is reading this, is the Abernathy Sonic Baroness, 18 frets of source of glorious. It's like, look, you're playing a baritone. It's like, if you're going past the 18th fret, just play a guitar.
Yeah. It's very, very cool. But yeah, I'd not seen this brand before. Obviously, they make some fantastic stuff, and certainly people commenting seem to be very well aware of this brand. I love their offset body shape. I think it's really cool. They've got like a Mustang style, a Duosonic Empress that they've made in the same body shape without the German carve with Mustang pickups, always with the slotted headstock as well. I just think these things look fantastic. And realistically, you know, not a huge amount of money for the custom shops as unique as this. Certainly, you know, almost half the price of a Vuren Saku, you know, so it's
I'm cool. I'm really into this twang dangler. I don't know if you've You've seen the twang dangler.
Are we allowed to talk about that on the?
Is that the penis Telecaster? Yes.
Oh, you've just said the word. Yeah. Okay. I guess we are. Yeah. The big twang dangler.
I saw it's the first guitar on their site, so I assume the first one they made. And I was like, all these guitars are fantastic. And then there's a Telecaster with a dick on it, and I was just like, oh, this is.
To be fair, instead of the F hole, it has. Yeah.
D-hole.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. But everything else is very tasteful, I think. That's
incredibly classy.
Yeah. You can see how this brand has kind of progressed, really.
Yeah. I sort of went for a Sonic Wander there and looked up the pickup that's in the Sonic Baroness Joe, and it is by Gemini Pickups. Are you guys familiar with Gemini Pickups?
I'm not, no.
Yeah, a three-position foil P90. Yeah, so you can flick between a Supro coil, a Diarmond coil, and then combined humbucking, which sounds unbelievable. I'm going to be checking out Gemini Pickups as a result of this for sure.
That sounds incredibly cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. Really wicked. It makes
me really want to hear the Baroness for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I was earlier on when I was checking out, so I was, you know, looking around their website, I clicked on their artists to have a little look at who's playing these Abernethy guitars. What I've never heard. My favorite artist was Matt Nuke Nunes from Motor Grater, who might be he is the most oddly juxtaposed against the guitar that he plays. So he dresses like an orc from Lord of the Rings, but he plays a very nice, subtly relicked butterscotch dual P90 Abernethy guitar. It's really the strain. You know, you think this is going to be, he needs a guitar shaped like an axe. No, he's got a really tasteful instrument there. I did enjoy it.
Hmm. Yeah, I've certainly now reached peak curiosity. So, Gemini Pickups, Moto Grater the band. Let's go.
Right.
I was say, like, this brand did seem familiar, and it's I know a guy who is in a band with a guy who is on this artist page, and that is Matt Armstrong, and he's there playing his aluminium bass, which is pretty cool.
Oh, very cool. Mm. Oh, very cool. Yeah. But yeah, a brilliant discovery. A new brand that I think I'm going to get quite involved in. Very cool indeed. Now, I guess we should... We want to talk about some news, but I do, Matt, I want to talk about you finally getting hold of the Harmony Juno, which...
Joe Branton, I let you down. I let you down a gear of the year. I let Mark Packham talk me round with these tales of glory for picking the Fender. And the Harmony Juno is... And this is, you know, might sound like I'm exaggerating, but honestly not. One of the best guitars I've played in ages. Like, straight out of the box, it just played amazing. And then I plugged it in just straight into... I plugged it straight into my Morgan first, and I was like, I'll plug it into the Rajani amp afterwards because I wanted a bit more grit. And I was like, never have I enjoyed plugging a guitar in without a pedal board for quite some time. So impressive for them. I honestly don't know how they do it for the money. Because, yeah, they're all made in America.
Well, in Kalamazoo.
Yeah, I'm super impressed. Obviously, the neck feels really, really smooth. Reminds me of
the... solid rosewood neck on there.
Yeah, I mean, I've always wanted a rosewood... Sorry, what was that?
A big deep C on the neck.
Yeah, the thing that caught me out initially was that it felt wider than guitar necks that I'm normally used to, but I kind of just sort of really fallen in love with it. Don't miss the tone control. The pickups are incredibly versatile, and you can just do everything with the volume control. Like, that's the first time I've properly tried gold foil pickups as well, and I'm like, this is a game changer for me. I just think it sounds amazing. I mean, what are they? 999?
Yeah, something like that. I really think the pickups are the thing here. Like, they are very well-built American guitars. There are lots of well-built American guitars out there. The pickups, for me, are what separate Harmony from everyone else, because those P90s are incredibly articulate.
Yeah, it was a case of just sort of plugging it in and, I don't know, sort of like song ideas and just like, you know, when you play something and just instantly it makes you feel more creative, just in terms of playing, and everything just feels like it's just, I know it's just, you know, it sounds a bit crazy, but just sort of like flowing out of the instrument. It's just, oh yeah, this is great.
It's like a creative tool straight off the bat.
Yeah.
I always think when you find an instrument like that, you should probably buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. So the only criticism, because actually, I don't mind the small body at all. I don't think that doesn't bother me at all. It's slightly, if you, and I spoke to you about this before, Joe, but obviously me and you are, you know, we wear our straps relatively high, you know, maybe I'm not as high in the strap territory as you, but I sort of have it so it rests just above my leg. So the strap is maintaining most of the...
leg?
Yeah.
I try and make sure mine's above my nipples.
Yeah. But yeah, if you just rest it on your leg with no strap, it does feel a tad neck heavy. So I prefer to sort of have the strap on and then just sort of let it rest a little bit more naturally. But wicked. Great finish. Superb finish, that sort of pearl white.
Yes, great, so you've got the pearl pickups. White one, and I've got the rose one.
Mm. That neck, the tuners, obviously you've got locking tuners on there, super solid. I would say the only thing I'm debating at the moment, you know, when you play something and it's like, this feels great, but the strings are somewhat slinky, even with 10s. I'm like, maybe I'll put 11s on
it. It's not short scale.
I know it's not short scale, but it just feels like the strings feel incredibly light. The website says 10s, but I'm like, it feels lighter than 10s.
I took them off and put 12s on as soon as I got it.
Yeah, I might put 11s on. But I'd honestly say, if you're looking for a new guitar and you want something a bit different, this is my new choice. I'm in, 100%. I think it's just amazing. Like, honestly amazing. I wish I'd tried it before Gear of the Year so I could have fought the corner a little bit more for you, Joe. But at least we know when we come to, you know, 20 to 21's Gear of 2020, we know to push for that one quite hard. But yeah, absolutely, seriously impressed. Amazing.
Very cool.
For the money.
Very cool indeed. Now, before we finish, let's do a little bit of news, because we've got about 10, 15 minutes left on this podcast. So let's try and do a couple of news items. JD, why don't we start with you? Something that people can pick up for free.
Yeah. So Plugin Alliance is offering their Ampeg Classic, so SVT Classic emulation for free. And it's, the code for that is Ampeg-4, the word four, just F-O-R, not F-O-U-R, in case you're being clever. Just those three letters, not all everything I said, hyphen, free. What I'd say is, like, this plugin, I have this and have had for a while.
Did you pay $100 for it? Because that's how much it normally
is. Yeah, it's normally $100. Sometimes you can get it on sale for $50, which is still a great deal. But right now, through 19th of February, it is free. It's by Brainworks, which is one of my absolute top companies as far as like plug-in emulation and their own design. At the moment, I have probably, I'd say, at least a dozen of my top, you know, 15, top 20 plugins that I use are all Brainworks. Just absolutely incredible. There is a bigger version of the full SVT range, but this is basically just SVT. You get 810 emulation. You can turn it on or off. It's really great for making basses and really like different drum sounds and other guitar sounds just sort of sit well in a mix. Like, I mean, one of my favorite things I end up doing is running sort of a parallel processing so that I'll have like a dirtier version, and I can, with this Ampeg, I really like scooping a lot of the low end out, even of the base stuff, and just having like a lot of the upper end grit that you can drive, and then blending that back in with, like sometimes I'll do it with like drum room mics or bass drums or, you know, my bass in general. But yeah, it's an excellent, excellent plugin, and certainly for free, but it'd be worth it at 100, you know, 100 US, or I think it's 100 in whatever currency you buy it in, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure. They always price everything in dollars on Plugin Alliance. So I think it's like, pay in dollars, I think.
I'm trying to remember. There's a couple sites. I think Plugin Alliance, like there's a couple sites that will do just, it's 100 in whatever currency you pay in. So yeah. If you can pay in dollars, then that's especially excellent compared to euros or pounds. But yeah, like it's, MPEG for free. You just go there and it's, you know, you put it in at checkout, and they, it's well worth picking up. It's got everything you want, I think, without a bunch of other stuff that you don't need.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, you know, like you'll have to load up like a full suite of, you know, like modeling software just to run a cab sim or something. And it's like, it's basically this does everything. It just works. And it really brings a lot of like heft and air to really whatever you throw at it.
Yeah. Yeah. The fella who produced Polymath did a live video just before lockdowns happened. And I remember us being really, really rushed to set up. And I was so unhappy with my bass sound in that room. And I really I made some bad decisions because where I was standing, I couldn't hear something properly. And so I used the low end boost on the head. And then afterwards I was like, why did I do that? I know that always just makes everything muddy. It was a bad decision, but of course they took a clean DI signal out as well. And when I went in to see the producer to hear the final version, my bass sounded amazing. I was like, oh, I guess I didn't make as bad decisions as I thought. And he was like, no, you did. I've reamped everything through this, and it was this very sim and this plugin, and absolutely fantastic. I thoroughly recommend it. It is super cool. Check out the Ampeg plugins and make your bass sound better. I think, Matt, it's something I'm probably going to reamp my bass through this for our track that we're building for the home recording guide.
We need to in the next episode we're recording this week, we need to talk about reamping. I was reading a bit about it, and I'm like, building this new big pedal board for the studio, i.e. my bedroom, I would really like to be able to record a dry DI and then reamp it all through the pedal board, and then be able to send it to you so you can then sort of mix between the two. So that's something we can talk about this week.
Yes, absolutely. We certainly should.
I just want to give a shout out. Everyone record a clean DI for everything. Just do it.
Yes.
He's not wrong. Those are words of wisdom.
And that's another reason why I've started just using plugins to record, because it means I always do have that clean DI for messing around with in any way, shape or form. Like I did a whole album not doing that, you know, and using sort of outboard, still direct recording stuff, but you know, outboard stuff that I was then plugging into an interface and recording. And I just, the more I sort of learn and get into this, there is such value in being able to constantly re-edit all of your stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's such a luxury to... Sorry.
No, sorry, go.
No, I was just going to say it's such a luxury to be able to kind of parallel process and record and make non-destructive edits. In the digital age, I think it's really, really important to bear such things in mind with your signal processing. It's not for everyone. Some people obviously are completely happy to commit in, you know, when they're doing takes. But there's just nothing worse than, you know, finishing a studio session and wishing you'd done something differently.
Yeah.
It's just such a good safety net. And it's a thing that will get you out of so many jams and will save hours of fixing things and... and having to do loads of different like EQing or gating and all that stuff that you can just be like, oh, well, I can just, you know, like run it through a reamp box and then, you know, back into whatever amp I want, or you know, any of the plugin suites that are out there that are all amazing now.
Exactly. I mean, it means that perfect take is always available to you. Like in that, if you're happy with something when it went in, you can then completely shape it. Like so many times I've listened back to different takes that I've done with outboard stuff and been like, well, this take, I'm not playing as well, but tonally this is really sound. Yeah. So I'll go with this one, you know, or whatever. Whereas, you know, the track that me and Matt were building, the take that I've used, I was like, there was a delivery coming to the door whilst I was playing and I was sort of looking out the window and just jamming around, and it ended up just naturally being a really good take and completely accidentally. And I've totally changed the sound that I've used and the effects that are on that bass retrospectively, but I've had the ability to do it because the only thing actually being committed to tape is a DI recording.
I will say too, one more quick hot tip is that if you have a distortion sound you're actually going with, and you have, so I would record both, you know, your amp sound and your DI. Make sure you mute your DI when you're actually printing it for final mixing, because I've done that before where I was like, what is that? And you just listen to the clean guitar sound from all your, you know, without any pedals or anything on it, and it's shockingly terrifying to just be like, oh, that's what it sounds like.
It's like hearing your own voice back for the first time ever, and you're like, oh my God.
We touched on that in the podcast, didn't we, Joe? It's just like, it's the scariest thing when you first start listening to yourself back without all the extra noise, and you're just like, oh my God.
Absolutely. Yeah, back to every drawing board in my life.
Yeah,
yeah. But I mean, it's where you pick up so many things, like back to kind of like the thump, you know, like ideas, like, you know, like, and muting string noises and like all the things that live are fine and give it character, you know, and all that. But then you start listening back and you're like, oh, there's so much string noise, or like you start to be able to hear that you're pressing the strings against your highest fret. You know, like as you're strumming and you start hearing all these like weird mid spikes and everything, and you're like, oh, and then you start like, I need to work on all this other stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. It's something that with hindsight I always love or have loved about the studio anytime I've been in recording is, you know, I feel like you learn some really valuable lessons there and hopefully go in more prepared the next time. Not that everyone goes in unprepared, but I just feel like it really is the ultimate mirror to your playing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think for anyone, who's not listened to the podcast yet, the home recording one, should go in and have a listen, because it's been amazing for me. But Joe sent me the track that we're going to talk about on Thursday. And for someone who's constantly gone, I hate the sound of plugins, I'd never want to use a computer, you know, why can't I crank an amp and record that? And I'm listening to it going, play, you'd never know. and it's so bizarre, because, you know, I've said that for ages, you know, recorded sound, it's only the person playing it, it's who really ever knows, you know, if it's done right. And I'm listening to it going, sounds great. It's like, wish I could get my pedal board to sound like that half the time that I'm sort of playing at home. So it's been amazing.
Yeah, I was like, you say that, and it's like, like these days especially, but I mean, even 20 years ago, like, it never was. You know, like, everything was, like, reamped even then, or, like, you listen to, like, you know, like, the first Rage Against the Machine album, and there are sample drums, you know, like, there's all drum replacements on there that, on every pop song today, you know, that's out there, like, everyone has their own drum, you know, it's all these things that we think of as, like, perfectly organic, it's like, they are, but the recording process is a curatorial process, so it's, you know, it's just that, it's presenting the best version of it to the world, and and I had all the same hangups where I was like, I entirely analog signal path, I want only tubes and valves, everything, and then you're like, oh, actually, whatever makes it sound good is what I want.
Exactly, that is exactly it. Yeah,
Well, I mean, and that is actually all the time we have on this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. You can, of course, join us over on Patreon at patreon.com/guitar nerds for an entire extra episode every week. You can become a Patreon supporter for as little as $1 a month. At the dollar tier, you'll get this episode ad-free and early. $5 will get you access to the Patreon special episodes and our entire back catalogue. And $10 will get you the lot, plus I'll sing you my thanks at the end of every episode. Find us on all your favourite social media platforms and join the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook to get involved in our weekly episode discussion. Thanks for listening. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell. Frost, Brian Einstein, Kevin Van Der Linden, Jacob McGee, Andy Manley, Scott Hattie, Robert Butler, Simon Milborn, Marcus Al Calawati, Stuart Robson, Neil Milton, Christian Van Hansen, Keith Adams, Ryan McDermott, Michael McVeigh, Eric File, Andrew Good, Joe Putnick, Merrick Peters, Richard Sunworth, Jack Cutmore, Ken Sayers, Adrian Day, Abe Matthews, Kytopia, The Band, Sean Arbo, John Anglin, Rob Gould, Tucker Avedon, Ernie Cooper, Ross Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Burke, Aaron Sherman, Dave Lee, Jake Gray, Scott Kennedy, Blake Wyland, Christopher Loza, Hans Ams, Derek Rich, Rob Nordvik, Steve Merkel, JD Short, Brad Page, Andy McKenzie, Robert Smith, Scott O'Brien, Paul Corrigan, Lou Granite.